Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. We have Chicago White Sox baseball tonight right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Southsiders return home as James Shields back to the bump to face the Texas Rangers. Baseball night in Chicago begins our coverage at 6:30. Jason and Stoney have the call at 7. Cubs bullpen imploded in Atlanta, setting up tonight's rubber game with the red-hot Braves. Meanwhile, Addison Russell has an OPS over 900 in his last 10 games. Has he done enough to quiet all the Manny Machado trade rumors? And the NBA draft combine is underway. Bulls pick 7th. Who should Garpax target? Meanwhile, one of the best players in the draft might not actually enter. How would that affect the Bulls' plans? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From The Athletic, he is the one and only Kevin Fishbane. 670 The Score, he's Connor McKnight. ESPN 1000, he is Chris Black. Okay, let's get started with baseball conversation. Addison Russell's name all over rumors that Manny Machado could be the apple of Theo and Jed's eyes. I'll start with you. Your thoughts on a potential deal where you'd be giving up someone you control through, I believe, 2022 for a guy that you would control exactly till October.
End of this year. I guess if the question is, has Addison Russell done enough to quiet the trade talk? No, he can't. It's impossible. Manny Machado is Manny Machado, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Five best hitters in the game.
So any kind of conversation you have that starts with Manny Machado and somehow encapsulates Addison Russell is not going to stop just because Addison Russell is doing what we've seen him do on the north side for a couple of years. You know, that said, Theo mentioned that he's not really interested in paying premium prices and sacrificing future assets for rentals. I think the fun part gets, what do you want to term Addison Russell? Because if he moves, whether it's for Machado or anybody else, he's going to be the first guy off the major league roster since they took over, since they really started pushing this run, certainly since Joe started managing this club, the first guy off the big league roster to move. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to make a move that magnitude, Manny Machado is the kind of guy you want to aim for in return.
You know, and when I look at it, Addison Russell, the thing to think about with him is the struggles last year. Is that the type of player he really is? Or was it just a 1 year where he was down, not doing what he did in 2016, right? So if he's a guy that's going to struggle in the future and play the way he did last year, then I think you absolutely make the move. Because to me, he hasn't proven to this club that he's a guy that needs to be here for the long term.
By the way, our Rankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. If you'd like to weigh in, who would you prefer at shortstop? Machado, Russell?
A lot of Addison Russell fans in there.
There are. I mean,
listen, he's been playing well. We know what he can do with the glove. And he's been a clutch hitter in his career, even if the overall numbers haven't really been there. But, I mean, it's Manny Machado. And as Connor was saying, do you want to pay that luxury for a rental? You know, the Aroldis Chapman thing is a tough comparison because you're talking about a clear need at closer. He comes in. He obviously did the job. With Manny Machado, you know, is that a rental? Or can you win a World Series with the Cubs as they are right now? Obviously, Manny Machado makes you a better team, but does it make you that much closer to a World Series that you're going to give up Addison Russell? You're going to pay that premium.
Yeah, here's another thing, too. The Orioles are strange. It's a strange.
Well, first of all, they're an awful team.
They're god awful. And they should have traded Manny Machado at this point last season.
Correct.
Not doing that was a terrible mistake on their part. That said, if Manny Machado's prices come down, if you're not having to pay quote unquote premium for one of the best five hitters in baseball, then you have to make this trade.
But
it's about winning.
But if the price isn't that, then everyone's going to do it.
I think you're probably right. That said, if Manny Machado wants to win, the Cubs are so hopefully in a situation where they're able to provide that for him. Also, Addison Russell becomes redundant to a certain point. If he's not hitting to an OPS of 900, the way he has last week, which we haven't seen much of, not consistently, Javi Baez makes him a little redundant. The existence of, theoretically, Manny Machado moves everybody around the infield, or at least Joe can do it. So, you know, there are more than just performance-based issues that lead us to this discussion. There's actual baseball X's and O's, and if you can set yourself up for the long-term Manny Machado deal, you know, if the extension gets signed, then you're insulating yourself a little bit against Chris Bryant reaching free agency, against Javi Baez reaching free agency. You have to do that a little bit, and they might be able to set their own cost certainty there, though the certainty would be that it's very, very expensive.
Very, very expensive, but you're adding Addison's here. Nice player. You're adding a guy who's up there.
How confident are we that the Cubs can convince him to stay if they made the deal? I think that it would be pretty high, right?
I would think the Cubs would have no problem convincing. I would think. They have the money. They do nothing but print money over
right.
there.
Right.
They know how to take care of their players, and they have a chance to win the World Series.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I think, I mean, they don't have the luxury of looking at it this way because they have to look at winning this year. But if I'm looking at money, and if you're going to put it into a player, wouldn't you rather put it into Bryce Harper next offseason?
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, man,
I think Machado, you get the
fielding, I think, more so with what he can do in the infield. But, I mean, Bryce Harper's a generational hitter. I don't know if Machado's not at that level.
Really?
I don't think he's a Bryce. I mean,
pull up the numbers.
Close.
Bryce Harper's had one year where he hit more than 29 homers. Bryce Harper's had multiple years where he doesn't play 145 games. Manny Machado's got multiple 30 home run seasons.
If the Machado thing comes up, though, where teams are worried long term about the knee injury he had a couple years ago, that's something to think about. But that's going to be more for an extension conversation than it is a trade. And then also for Machado, the fielding numbers are good at shortstop, but not great so far. And
he's,
I'm not one to tell you.
He's an excellent third baseman.
He's been very good at third base.
Would probably be a very solid shortstop.
So what are you willing to change around? How much are you willing to move to make that trade? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand Chris Bryant can play you a little right field, and that's awesome for Joe. But how much do you want to move a former NL MVP if that's what you end up having to do? And I know Machado's been good at short, maybe not great so far this year. I don't like to trust a lot of the defensive metrics so far, so early in the season. I need a lot bigger spoonful than what we've seen so far. But I think there are worries that a guy who hasn't played shortstop full time in the major leagues and is 26 with a knee injury, that he can do that full time.
Machado, 330 home run seasons, Harper, one.
Hey, I love Machado. I think it'd be great. I wonder how they would value it when they look at those two. But again, they have to look at this year. My question: do you have to give a prospect and Russell, if not multiple prospects,
and more?
Right? You would probably.
And they don't.
Ian Happ, Addison Russell might get it done. Might. But you're giving up
two
guys with
starters.
A ton of control for a shot to win now.
Yeah, and one of the positive sides of this Cubs team is the ability to move guys around and have a deep team, right? So if you're moving two guys for one. I mean, is that something that would put you in better position to win the division? I mean, right now there are 9 teams in the NL with more wins than the Cubs. I mean, think about that. We're almost at the end of May. 9 teams have a better record at this point. I get it. You're only competing with your division to get into the playoffs. But I think we all saw something more from this Cubs team coming into this season, didn't we?
What if I told you those 9 teams would not include the Dodgers?
Yeah, right. Like, and that's shocking
under.
As well, right?
10 under now. It's crazy.
I thought they would be. Originally, you would think once the Seager injury happened, they'd be right in this Machado sweepstakes. But now, with where they're at, you know, that's where the Cubs can kind of step in there and make it. If you put Happ in a trade, it makes the trade nicer. But then, you know, from an organizational standpoint, you move on with Almora. But are you're just giving up on Ian Happ? Is that something you want to do at that point?
For,
I don't know.
For what it's worth, too, the Orioles have players that kind of fit a general frame of Ian Happ and Addison Russell. Not to say, I mean, you know, Tim Beckham they took a stab at, and he had a really nice end to last season. They've tried guys like Pedro Alvarez and Chris Davis, and not to say that either one of those guys are going to grow to be those guys at their powers, though Alvarez has tailed off some. But they've got swing-and-miss power types. I would imagine if the Orioles really put together a wish list for what they want for Manny Machado, or rather what they need to have to actually build a franchise from a team that hasn't spent any international money in ever, then they've got to get a little bit more of a higher floor type player with a ceiling than maybe just Russell and Happ. I mean, we could be looking in a situation where, right. as much as we talk about it, Cubs might not have the firepower to get it
right.
done.
They may say, okay, we'll take those two, and we want Adbert Alzolay. Mm-hmm. And the Cubs are like, whoa.
And a couple more names off your list, because we have Manny Machado, and no one else does.
Correct. We'll see. It would be surprising. Let's move to the White Sox. Look, everyone knew coming into this season that the White Sox were not destined to win the World Series. In fact, everyone thought, they'll be okay, 70-some wins. They have the worst record in baseball, 10-29. That ties an all-time low for a White Sox team in their 100-plus year history. So, Chris, is this stunning to you? Did you expect it to be this bad?
I thought it's par for the course. I thought they'd win maybe 68 ball games.
I had them 72-90.
But here's the thing. Look around baseball. The teams who are the teams in contention, and you look at the Braves with the series against the Cubs, they're all made of young players. So if you see that, you have to be okay with what's going on with the White Sox right now, because brighter times are going to be in your future. And it's okay to have young guys all come up at once. That's how you win in baseball today. We saw it with the Astros last year, saw it with the Cubs. That's the way to do it. So I'm okay. I'm not shocked that they're this bad.
Yeah, I care a lot more about what are Yoan Moncada's numbers with the pro, with the Major League team this year. Where do you see Tim Anderson in your future? What's Eloy Jimenez doing in Birmingham? What's Kopech doing? Those numbers mean more to me than 10 wins.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And to that end, it has been a little disappointing to see Anderson not really solidified defensively as often as we'd like. I still think he has it in him to be an everyday shortstop. It's been awesome to see Matt Davidson become one of the better hitters in baseball, putting it together the way, you know, we see a lot of players do. I think we all knew that there'd be growing pains in the rotation. I guess I didn't think they'd be as painful and less growing so far this year.
I'm disappointed
it's been tough to
in
watch.
Giolito. Yeah. I thought he'd be better. Ronaldo Lopez has had his ups and his downs, but I think he's got an electric arm.
Yeah, I'm willing to take the 2 innings, 7 runs and throw it out. He's been good enough
he's
to deserve
been
that.
Excellent. Tim Anderson, I think, is not a long-term answer at shortstop. He's a long-term baseball player, maybe in the outfield, if you go get the right shortstop. I like this, what I've seen from Moncada. Abreu's a stud. The rest of it, when you give away your entire bullpen in 1 year, you can't rebuild it that quick.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, look at the bullpen. They don't have what's needed to be a good team from the bullpen, especially the way bullpens are used today. So it shouldn't be such a shock that they can't win ball games because they can't pitch at the end of games.
Agreed. You could throw Carson Fulmer in that mix too about these guys. And then, you know, Rodon's making his rehab start, so we can. You're looking for things to watch that don't involve the win loss results at the game. And Rodon's one of those things that you can kind of let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can get back, because you're trying to figure out what's
new. In the minor league TV and watch some of those guys. They've got players coming.
You're getting results too from some of those players, whether that's Dane Dunning, whether that's Dylan Cease,
Eloy
Jimenez. He's been hitting everything he looks at. It's frightening to watch the numbers that
Kopech.
He's put up. Kopech's been really good too. I guess I kind of figured that we'd, at a major league level, have a record that was kind of disappointing, but be a little bit more solid around the edges. You know, be a little bit more solid around the
like if you told me they were 14-25, I'd be like, okay. 10-29 just sounds so awful.
Yeah, but to Chris's point, I'm willing to take all those bullpen losses. I mean, if that's what they were. Unfortunately, that's not all they are at this point.
Correct.
Yeah, but you'd feel much better about 10 wins if Giolito was pitching better.
Right.
That's right there.
All right, Bulls have the 7th pick in the draft. Now the hard work begins. They have to pick somebody. Could Mo Bamba fall to them, or will his record-setting wingspan see the former Longhorn climb up the draft board? And what happens if one of the top prospects in the draft doesn't enter the draft at all?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Dwayne Casey was named one of the 3 finalists for NBA Coach of the Year. Raptors congratulated him on Twitter about a week after they fired him. What do you guys think? How about that? And he took out a really nice ad in the paper up there. Thank you, everybody. Great fan base, blah, blah, blah. Guy won 50-some games, number one seed. See you later, Coach.
Hey, if you want a tweet to get a lot of attention, that's what team social media, that's what their job is, right? That tweet got a ton of attention. So
thanks, Coach. Twitter link, NBA Twitter profile. By all accounts, Dwayne Casey is just a phenomenal human being and one of the nicest guys in the NBA. I feel bad for him. I'm sure he'll get another job, but that is a rough parting gift.
You have to send a memo to every member of the organization, like, hey, by the way, we fired our coach, so don't tweet anything stupid congratulating him today because he won Coach of the Year.
Oh, sorry, I did not log into my email before I sent that tweet today. That's on me.
All right, one of the top prospects in the 2018 draft class is Luka Doncic, a European star, just 18 years of age. Bulls have scouted him on multiple occasions. Both John Paxson and Gar Forman traveled to Europe. Well, Doncic says today he's undecided on whether he wants to come to the NBA next season. Might wait another year or two. Most believe it is a memo to the Sacramento Kings that I have no interest in playing for your franchise. So I ask you, Chris Bleck, you're our resident NBA guru at ESPN 1000. Would you make an offer this 22nd, the 7th pick, and maybe Chris Dunn to see if you could pry him away?
Yeah, absolutely, because this is clearly a agent power play here. We don't want to play at this location, so we want to try and move our drafted prospect somewhere he wants to be. So if the Bulls are on the list for Luka Doncic, you absolutely make that move because he's 19 years old. He tore it up overseas. He has the handles. He can shoot. He's got a 6'8 size, so he can
He's 18 years of age.
He can do everything. He can do everything. You make the move if you can do it because there are three guys in this draft who are going to be franchise changers. He's one of them.
I get that he doesn't want to play for the Kings. I don't want to play for the Kings. Nobody here wants to play for the Kings. But I'm calling shenanigans. I think he'd still go play for the Kings if they did draft him. And I'm not concerned or considered that that the Suns wouldn't take him with number one overall. I like DeAndre Ayton. I like the idea that he's going to grow, but his last, five, 6 weeks in college hoops was anything but extraordinary. And the way I understand it, the front office of the Suns, they kind of like to get crafty and crazy. They don't necessarily have to take the kid out of the backyard.
I like the idea of the Bulls targeting him. And if he wants to stay in Europe for another year, the Bulls can tank better next year. And then they can get him
to the top
pick.
Let us fix that tanking thing.
They get a top pick in 2019. So, yeah, I mean, as Chris was saying, there's only so few players in this draft that are real franchise changers. And you're not going to get one at 7. So, I mean, that opens up the possibility, I guess. I imagine a bunch of teams might be on the phone with Sacramento who might be saying, we don't care what you say. He's going to be our guy no matter what.
But you and I have debated a lot about this. Yeah. How do you think they feel in Memphis? They were the second worst record in the game, and they fell out of the top three.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the teams that tried to tank this season where it didn't work out, the Grizzlies are the team where it really didn't work out. They're fourth, picking fourth. So, like, the Bulls, they're picking 7th. You didn't really try that hard to tank. The Grizzlies were awful. In fact, they lost a game this season by 60 points. I mean, they were that bad. So you feel bad for them. And you look at the guys at the top of the draft board, it really comes down to a question of how do you shape your team for the future, right? Because Ayton being a center, do you see the game being a low post game or do you want a guard who can facilitate
great
from the perimeter?
All right, let's talk about last night's game. The Houston Rockets pounded the Golden State Warriors, and surprisingly, Steph Curry has made 1-3 in each of the first two games of the series, but now it shifts back to California. They'll play the next two at Golden State. Boy, guys, last night, James Harden was outstanding, but they made, 16 or 17 threes as a team. Tough to beat a team like that.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that after game one and the way the Warriors looked against the Rockets, that this game two was a fluke. I don't see it that way. The Rockets were able to play their way and get their ISO matchups and attack Steph and attack Kevin Looney. They got the matchups they wanted and they moved the ball around. That's a concerted change in my estimation. And I think that's a better team. It's so weird to say this about a one seed, but I think it's a better team than people give them credit for.
Well, you know, one thing to consider, right? When they go to Oakland and play at the Oracle, are P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza going to hit as many shots as they did last night? Because if they don't, they're not going to win a game like this. Because you know that Steph's going to be hot in his own court, on his home court. You know Clay will. And when that place gets rocking, it's a tough place to play. So will the others on the Rockets step up? That's the question here.
I think if you're a Rockets fan, it makes you almost more frustrated that you lost game one.
Yeah.
Because Harden was ridiculous in game one. Yeah. Curry had only one three-pointer. That one three-pointer came in game one.
But Durant was magnificent.
Durant was insane in that game, too. And Klay Thompson had a great game one, too. But, yeah, how many more of these games can they steal? But I think if you're supporting the Rockets here, you've got to love what Eric Gordon did last night and think that he could maybe do that again, because you're not going to – game one showed you're not going to win if James Harden scores 50 points.
Hey, quick thing, though. Is Steph healthy?
I don't know.
Are we saying that? Are we just assuming that he's
there?
We're
assuming? That's a great point.
Because I'm not necessarily comfortable doing it. I mean, he's going for his knee when he's down in the post after Harden, and then he's faking like, oh, it's, you know, my tights, they're not on quite right. Like, I'm not convinced he's altogether healthy.
That's a great point. All right, Blackhawks haven't played a game in over a month. Past and present Hawks are making a big impact right now on the ice. Big Buff plays bouncer in Vegas. Meanwhile, Patrick Kane can't stop scoring at the World Championships as he captains Team USA. Should Coach Q give him a greater leadership role?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Patrick Kane lighting it up at the World Championships, but right here in our country, Dustin Byfuglien, his former teammate, is just taking no prisoners. Last night, with one arm he takes one, with the other arm he takes the other, says, okay, enough, boys, knock it off. Winnipeg fell in the game, but Big Buff not messing around. I thought it was awesome.
It's been fun to watch him. I mean, he's been one of the best players, if not the best player for Winnipeg. It brings back nice memories of what he did here for the Blackhawks.
How cool would it be if he's still a Blackhawk? He would be a legend.
Oh, the good old days when you had someone in front of the net who can move guys out of the way. I mean, that's what the Hawks have needed the last couple of years, and he's still doing it.
Did he pull them both down and then hold them apart as they tried to get back up?
Yes.
Man, it's gigantic.
And then if you stand up and you see that Byfuglien's the guy, you kind of like, you think for a second, whoever grabbed me, I'm going to go after him. And then you see it's Byfuglien.
I'm good. My bad. Yeah. That's my fault.
Yeah, no problem, Big Buff. Gotcha. Okay, so here's a question for you. We've seen before where teams take their captain and they go, we're going to take the C off your jersey. You concentrate on getting better. You've been struggling. And you put the C on someone else. I wouldn't do it, but the question was asked in the newsroom, would you take the C off of Jonathan Toews? I'd say, Patrick Kane, you're the new captain. Jonathan, you work on fixing your game, kid.
We've seen it happen. Have we seen it be successful? Have we seen that player rise to that next level? Does removing the pressure really negate the fact that you've lost the privilege of being your team's captain? I mean, to me, Patrick Kane's ready to take another step if he hasn't already. I kind of think he has already. You earn leadership in that room. I think they've told you. I think the Blackhawks have told you that. I think Patrick Kane's got plenty to earn. And he'll earn as much as he possibly can.
It all comes down to Toews, right? Because if he's not okay with that, and that could send him in a downward spiral, then you don't do it, right?
Well, he's already in a downward spiral.
Yeah, but if he's not okay with that, wouldn't that cause more issues within their clubhouse?
Well, last time I saw that work was Mighty Ducks 3. You know, they took it off Charlie
Conway. Heck of a
show. He got it at the end.
Yes.
And, you know, it helps him beat the varsity team.
Right.
But, I think Toews has done enough here in the city and for that franchise to earn to keep that. But, obviously, he's under the spotlight for next season to, you know, figure some things out with his game.
All right, boys, have a wonderful evening. Thanks for being here. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago's next. Then the Sox and the Rangers at 7. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.